Colleagues, this is Karen Tate, your hostess of Voices of the Sacred Feminine, and we are here on Blog Talk tonight on Wednesday, our normally scheduled day to air. And if you've noticed, some of the shows have not always been on Wednesday lately. The schedule has been a little bit erratic, so if you thought maybe you were confused or losing your mind, no. It's actually me on my end. The schedule has been a little bit in flux because life has been in transition these days. So thank you for tuning in. And just remember, if you click on the follow button on my show page on Blog Talk for Voices of the Sacred Feminine, you will always get a notice in your inbox when the show is airing and gives you the ability to just click on and listen very easily. And you don't have to remember anything, and you don't have to come looking for me. You can see what the guest is for the week and hopefully decide to listen. So before we get to tonight's show, just a quick shout out to the artist of the evening, Laura Kane, and we were hearing a little snippet from her single called Choose Love. And I chose that as the music for tonight because we are talking about relationships, preferably extraordinary relationships. I have with me tonight Diane Lawson. We're going to discuss how we can improve our relationships or choose better relationships using astrology. She has a book out called Extraordinary Relationships Through Astrology. Who'd have thought? We'll discover red flags people should be looking out for in relationships, what are planetary antidotes and how they can help people in relationships, and how adult astrological cycles can help people navigate relationships as well. Certainly, we can all use this valuable information in these complicated times in which we live in. So I hope you will tell your friends about the show and share around the link for tonight's show and any other shows that you listen to and you think there's been some valuable information shared. So before we get going and start our chat, I want to tell you a little bit about my guest tonight, Diane Lawson, the author of Extraordinary Relationships Through Astrology. She's a professional astrologer since 1973, so she's got a lot of experience under her belt. She's presented hundreds of classes, workshops, and lectures in person to groups, clubs, organizations, government agencies, and churches, and also over the radio and podcasts. To hear her most recent podcast with Maria DeSimone, Chris Fleischer, and Janet Hickok, go to dianelawson.com/book. She's published more than 100 times in national astrology magazines, including The Mountain Astrologer, Dell Horoscope, American Astrology, True Astrology Horoscope, Complete Astrology Forecast, and Mercury Hour. She's also been published in many other magazines, including Toastmaster, Fate, and Children's Christian magazines. She's had hundreds of stories published in newspapers and newsletters the world over. She's a graduate of Washburn U of Topeka in psychology and social work. She also did graduate work at the University of Montana, Missoula, in psychology, specifically behavior modification. And she was in Toastmasters for more than two decades. So she provides a wide variety of astrological services, including birth charts, yearly forecasts, and the ancient art of, is this a horary astrology? We'll have to ask her to tell us what that is, which can answer any question. She has extensive experience in helping people understand themselves and others better, including how to improve relationships, which brought her to writing this book, no doubt. So let me just say hello to Diane Lawson. Welcome to the show, Diane.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, I'm so glad to have you. I think, you know, we're living in uncertain times, and you know, to have someone that can offer any insight, I think, is always you know, a little bit of a plus. You know, sort of takes the edge off a little bit. I would imagine, you know what I mean, right?
Right. I want to thank you for your very nice and thorough introduction. I wanted to say two things about that, though. If they wanted to hear other podcasts or radio shows I've been on, they should go to Diane Lawson. And I wanted to be sure and spell that, because I spell it D-I-A-N-N-E, and then Lawson is L-A-W-S-O-N, but it's / media. If they would go to / book, they'd see the book, but if they went radio and podcast, it would be media. And before I forget, I'd really like to explain horary astrology. It's like horoscope. You mentioned that. Not very many people know about this. A lot of people know about the birth chart, where you take your time, date, and place of your birth and get your birth chart, which tells about your life as a whole. But horary astrology can answer any question, and it's based on the time you ask the astrologer the question, or the time the astrologer asks a question. And it's just really like goosebumpy and fascinating and amazing and magical, because you're not going to be able to get a hold of me until the timing is right, or I will not have time to talk to you until the timing is right. But when we get together and you ask me the question, I push a button on my computer that says now, and it draws a map of the heavens for that moment, and I look at where everything in the sky is, and I interpret that, and I can answer any question. And it's just pretty extraordinary.
But does that mean right now in the moment, like if I asked you a question and you press the button, it would answer a question for an outcome in the future?
Yes. Or the past.
Oh, I have to do this. Can we do it?
Well, it might take a while. We might have some dead airspace. But if this is about politics, you know, you and I were talking back and forth about what you wanted, what kind of information you wanted to know about coming politics. And I did do horary astrology on that rather than
looking
at, you know, I mean, there are lots and lots of ways you can get answers with astrology. You know, you ask about Trump, and I could have looked at his birth chart in great detail, and I could have looked at his yearly chart, and yearly charts usually take between, I usually look at like between 6 and 8 pages of where all the planets are going to be in the next 12 months, that can take, you know, a couple of hours, I can just ask, you know.
And how accurate is that? I mean, is it like 90%?
I think it's amazingly accurate. I think the chart itself is 100% right. Sometimes it's hard. There's so many rules. Sometimes the astrologer doesn't quite get it right. And when it comes to politics, astrologers tend to see what they want to see rather than what is there. I think that's kind of human.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember during the, you know, the presidential campaign, and we still had Bernie, Hillary, and Trump in the running, and every astrologer I talked to had a different answer, you know, and forgive me for asking you, but did you, and I don't want to embarrass you if you were wrong, but I guess I'm just curious, did you know Trump was going to win, or did you think it was going to be somebody else?
Yes, and I have been historically right for several elections, and is Trump going to win the Republican nomination? And this was back when there were like 16 candidates, and it said yes, and I thought, this has to be wrong. I must be wrong. And then I also asked if Bernie was going, to win, and the answer was no. And then I said, is Hillary going to win the presidential? And this was when everybody, you know, all the political pundits, except for, well, Michael Moore is not a political pundit, but he's the only person I know who said that Trump was going to win. And it clearly said that Hillary was going to lose and Trump was going to win, to me.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, we're going to go to commercial at about the half hour mark. So I forgot which questions I asked you to have answers to. But I would love to know, if you want to do the, how do you say it again? The horary, is that right?
It's like horoscope.
Horary. If you haven't looked already, I would love to know, if Trump is going to be reelected or if a Democrat is going to be the next president, something along those lines.
I've already looked, because you ask. In fact, I printed off the questions you ask, and I wrote little scribbles what the answers were, if you want me to.
Let's do it. I forgot what I asked you now, so it'll be it'll be new to me as well. So let's do it.
Okay. The first thing you wanted to know is Donald Trump going to go to jail? And the answer was emphatically no. And then you wanted to know is if he is going to be impeached. And it doesn't really matter. I don't know if you know the difference between impeached and, the House impeaches and then the Senate convicts and removes. And a lot of people kind of all encompass that. When I asked my understanding of impeachment, it took me a while to figure that out. The answer is a no, and the reason why is because it wouldn't benefit anybody, even the people who would be bringing forth the impeachment. I don't know if it was because it was tear the country apart or what, but so I went ahead and asked the other question, will the Senate convict and remove, and that's a definite, positively, absolute no. There's just no way that's going to happen.
So we're stuck with him till the end of his presidency, I guess.
Well, and then you wanted to know if Bernie Sanders was going to run for president again, and I think that was no. And you wanted me to look ahead in 6 years and see what might happen, and that's really an interesting, because in 6 years we're having a Pluto return, and Pluto takes about 248 years to go through the signs of the zodiac. And it is going to be exactly in the same degree of the zodiac it was on the day of our country's birth. And it's like going to be a big deal. It's kind of like the country is going to be in great turmoil. Pluto is, and I know Pluto is no longer considered a planet. He's considered a dwarf planet, but he's still out there, and he's still very, very important. And it's a time for us to choose, you know, what we're going to do. And I think there are going to be major, major, major changes in how we handle our joint finances. And what I mean by that, when Pluto's been involved in this country before, we started Medicare, we started Social Security, you know, those were big changes, big forming changes in the finances. And I think that's going to happen in 2020. And I ask if Trump is going to be elected president in 2020. And I kind of hesitate to tell you this because this is kind of like a question mark. And there are rare times when the horary will say it's too soon to tell, it's too soon to say. And I might read a month of horaries at home, or I might go to a psychic fair and read horaries one after another all weekend long, and I will never get the too soon to tell or too soon to say. And so I think what this is, I think it's a real time of Americans coming together. You know, are we going to transform us or not? And I think there's going to be so much. I think you probably know that Trump is getting together a huge amount of money for his next election already. Huge amount.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know he filed to run for 2020, I think the day of his inauguration or something. So it sounds like, Diane, I need to cry myself to sleep tonight.
Look at our history. And look at our history. We've gone through incredibly difficult times. The American Revolution was incredibly hard. The Civil War was incredibly hard. The 1960s was incredibly hard. I made some of my aunts cry because of my political views. You know, my family was torn apart. And now we're at huge differences in this country. Trump came to Topeka, Kansas, where I live, and my husband and I drove by his the political rally against him, and I have never seen so much hate on that side before. You know, usually when we drive down political rallies against Republicans, the Democrats are waving peace signs and having these, you know, feel good kinds of stuff. And
yeah,
the country is incredibly divided. But we've been through all, you know, we made it through all those other times I was talking about, and we will make it through this time too. I am convinced of that. And the pendulum will swing back. You know, this is a country.
Go ahead. I didn't mean
Obama. You know, we elected Obama. Mm-hmm. Of course, before that, we elected W. But, I mean, the pendulum will swing back again, and you will be happy again. You will be happy again.
But how long do I have to wait? That's the question. Okay.
You'll be very happy these midterm elections because, I'm not sure if you're a Democrat.
Yes.
Okay, you will be happy the midterm elections. The Democrats are certainly going to take back the House.
Okay.
And a lot of women are going to be elected.
So just to recap what I think you said. So the midterms go good. We take back the House. We don't probably take back the Senate. Women get into office. More women get into office. Trump doesn't get impeached. He doesn't get removed from office. And he's going to run again, and we don't know for sure that he's going to lose.
Well, we don't know for sure he's going to win.
Yeah. Yeah. And now what were you saying when you talked about it seemed like you started to say something about things were going to shift in terms of how we pay ourselves? Did you mean like Social Security and Medicare may go away?
I hope to God not. I can't imagine that happening. And this doesn't have anything to do with astrology, because the one thing that everybody agrees on, you know, Democrats, Republicans, socialists, everybody agrees on, Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid need to stay. I know McConnell said today, you know, that he was thinking about making shifts, and immediately Trump distanced himself from that because, you know, I just can't imagine that's changing. But I, you know, what's interesting is I do a lot of forecasting for my clients for the future. And I know a lot of people in their 50s and 60s are really panicky. Are they going to have enough money for their retirement?
Mm-hmm.
And many of them who are not apparently saving very well now look like they're going to be fine in retirement, that I have to believe that this country is going to be more socialistic toward older people in the future. And I think the changes with this, you know, Pluto return I was talking about, we're actually in the midst of it, and we're going to be in it past 2020, but it's going to reach a peak in 2020. I think that we're going to be more socialistic and taking care of our elders and our disabled and people who need medical care. I think that's going to be a lot more progressive in the future.
Well, let's hope. I mean, all the money we waste, you know, the corporate welfare that goes to the military industrial complex, you know, to pay for these wars. And I mean, and that's all it is corporate welfare. You know, there could be so much we could do. I mean, it's just insane. And, you know, I've been worried about the Republicans, you know, driving up the debt, giving all these tax cuts even more to the rich. And then they're going to say, oh, gee, we've blown up the budget, so now we have to take even more from the poor and the people who can't afford it. You know, I mean, that's their MO all the time. So, you know, I'm glad to hear you say what you're saying, because maybe they even know that if they mess with Social Security, that's the end of them. I mean, I would think so. I mean, it's old white people that support them, and if they go messing with their Social Security and their Medicare, I can't imagine they survive.
Right, right. And even younger people don't want, you know, granny having to move in with them because she doesn't have any money.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, absolutely.
It doesn't benefit anybody, so.
Right, right, it doesn't. So I guess I'm curious, have you, you know, tested the waters in terms of, you know, who may be the standout for the, you know, for the Democrats? I mean, if Bernie isn't going to run, I mean, have you, like, checked into Elizabeth Warren or Kamala Harris or anybody like that to see what it looks like for them?
No, I haven't. And it's, I think, kind of, I mean, I could spend hours doing this, and I've got a busy clientele that I don't.
You know, I'm sorry. I would just be curious, you know, and if all it is pressing a button, you know, don't mind me, you know, I wanted to see Bernie run, and I just can't imagine anybody but Bernie galvanizing the country, quite frankly. You know, but that's my bias. What can I say? I mean, I think he would have beat Trump, and I think the DNC robbed him. And we will never know, unfortunately. But I'm glad Michael Moore did, at least in his movie, you know, Fahrenheit 11/9. I'm glad he at least had the courage to address that, because I was so tired of being gaslighted by people on the left saying I was crazy and, you know, I was paranoid and, you know, I was a conspiracy theorist. And I know it was probably hard for a lot of my friends to take. But, you know, anyway, it's like it was yesterday for Bernie people like me. You know, I've never forgotten it. And although I'll never vote for a Republican, I have not forgiven the DNC. And, you know, I think they're just a bunch of corporatists and don't really represent the left. But, you know, That's me. And my listeners know who I am.
And they like you. So they're sticking with you. So.
So, well, you know, we've digressed a bit. You know, again, you know, let me just say to listeners who maybe have, you know, have been hearing us go on about politics, this is not actually a show about politics. It's a show about extraordinary relationships through astrology. And I appreciate you, Diane, you know, looking into those, you know, predictions for us, because that's always what people want to know. You know, they want to know what's ahead because, you know, the day-to-day is very difficult. So anyway, you know, I guess it makes sense to ask you, was there anything in particular that got you started, you know, in astrology to begin with?
Well, I am insanely curious about everything. And whenever I've heard myself say in life, well, I've never done that before, or I don't know anything about that, I have to go do it or find out about it. And this world-famous astrologer was coming to Topeka, and it was like, well, I've never had my chart done before. And I was never curious about it, you know, but I had never had it done before. Let's see what it did. She was so extraordinary that I left her, and I went to the public library to get an armload of books to see how in the heck she did it. And I found out that what she told me was in those books. And so, I mean, I was off and running, and since I'm so curious, I've looked at a lot of other different things, but I think astrology is by far and away the best help we have. It's like the whole heavens are wanting to give us guideposts to get through life. I mean, they will tell us, the birth chart will tell us everything about how we can make money, how we can meet a man, how we can keep a man, or, you know, spouse, or you know, boyfriend, what
right.
career go into, what kind of talents and abilities we have, past lives, just everything, talents, abilities, what in the heck we're supposed to be doing here. And then the yearly charts give forecast about what is likely to happen so we can grab opportunities or try to, you know, avoid pitfalls. It's just, I could go on and on and on. I mean, it helps with everything. And I was just,
well, you know,
Well,
you know, I'm listening to you say that, and you know, and recently, you know, because my life's been in transition, one of my friends who does astrology pretty often and does charts, she did a chart for me, and she had done one for me a few years prior. But you know what I don't know, maybe they're different programs, but what frustrated me about the chart was And maybe it's because, you know, I don't know what all the transits mean and stuff like that. I don't know the jargon. But it's really hard for someone to get that information and figure out what it means on a day-to-day basis. You know, does that make sense, what I'm saying? You know, it's like there's some prediction talent that you need a little bit as well, right? Because it seems like what's being said, it can be vague.
Okay, I don't think it's vague. I think to be a good astrologer, it takes years of preparation and many, many, many charts. But I also think a lot of astrologers are not using all the tools at their disposal. And some astrologers are just using, you know, the birth chart of a person and then where the planets are up in the sky for that, you know, year. Well, that's a small part of what I use. I use a lot of other techniques and put them all together. And it just drives me crazy when other astrologers, some of whom portray themselves as professionals, say, well, I will do yearly forecast using the transits. That's not enough. That's not enough. That leaves a whole bunch of information out. And I'm sorry I'm on my soapbox, but I think it can be very detailed, you know, and it
okay.
can be. I'm certainly not going to do this, but I have, you know, looked at 4-minute windows as an example. I got married within a 4-minute window.
Wow.
You know, I never down to the best possible time to be married. And you know, we've been really happily married for 22 years.
Huh, interesting. Wow. Well, you know, well, that makes me feel good to hear, you know. So astrology can really be, you know, much more accurate than maybe some of us have experienced with some of the astrologers that that we've used. I mean, look, the Reagans were definitely used in an astrologer, and man, Reagan was like the Teflon president, you know. You know, they seem to have sure used that to their advantage.
Well, you know, I read her book. That his astrologer wrote a book, and I have no doubt that everything she said in it was true, because Reagan, for example, was elected governor of California, like at 12:09 a.m., you know, some weird time. And you look at that chart, and it's like, wow, what a great chart. I mean, she picked that astrologer was tremendous. I mean, I can see why he got elected president. I can see why he was a Teflon president. And I think a lot of, I mean, he was a great communicator, but his astrologer was good. You know, and that proof is in the pudding. I mean, it certainly worked for him.
Yeah, it sure did. I mean, when you consider really all the damage that the Reagan administrations did, but everybody thinks he's a saint. So anyway, here we go. It's so easy to get into politics, isn't it? I mean, you can just slide right in. So the book that you wrote, Extraordinary Relationships Through Astrology, was this because, like what you just said, you know, you picked this, you know, perfect time to be married. It had such a happy ending. Were you seeing that it could be such a powerful tool to guide our relationships?
Okay. I wrote this book because I know astrology can really help with relationships. But I also know that people, including myself, often don't pay attention to astrology when they're in the midst of, I don't know, hormones or craziness,
yeah,
or who knows what,
yeah,
you know. And that I wrote this because primarily I've seen so many people suffer in relationships. The number one question I get with the horary is, what does the universe want to tell me about my relationships with so-and-so, my relationship with so-and-so? Or another one I get is, how can I meet someone to marry? Or, you know, I get a lot of questions about relationships. But I also have been a social worker, and I have three planets in Capricorn, so big hunk of my working life. I was a full-time social worker, a full-time astrologer, and wrote on the side. I don't know how I did it, but I, you know, I was a social worker. I've been an astrologer, and I have had three or four marriages, depending on what you count. You know, I've had two divorces, one annulment, and then finally, when I quit listening to my heart or my addled brain or whatever, my current husband, who is absolutely wonderful, came to me as an astrology client. The second I saw his chart, I knew I was going to marry him because the chart comparison was so good. And then I also picked good time to be married. And if you would have looked at our past, especially my past, the likelihood of me being able to have a good marriage looked pretty slim. I mean, if the past is the best predictor of the future, you'd think, gosh, why would anybody marry her? You know, she's been married three times before. But, you know, astrology doesn't lie, and if you pay attention to it, it can really, really help.
Well, and if somebody picks up your book, are they able to use astrology to guide them?
Absolutely. This book was written for people who know nothing about astrology, but who are willing to to get, they're going to have to get their birth chart. There are so many places online where you can get a free birth chart. All you have to do is type in free birth chart. And when I do people's birth charts, I always give them a copy, a hard copy, paper copy of their birth chart. But if people have a copy of their birth chart, they can go through this very easy step-by-step guide to help them learn how to meet somebody, where, you know, through whom, you know, just how to meet somebody. And then of course, how to keep them. But I have chapters on, you know, and I guess we're going to talk about this in a little bit. You mentioned this, the red flags in relationships. But it's also for, I've had an awful lot of really good professional astrologers buy this book and say they learn things. So it's kind of like for everybody. It's got to be somebody who's willing to put some time and learn more than just the sun sign. It's more than just, you know, I'm an Aries, I'm a Libra. It has to do with your individual birth chart, and it doesn't teach you all about astrology. It just teaches you the bits of astrology you need to know how to navigate through relationships.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we take a break right now? I owe Joe Carson a commercial, and when we get back, we'll talk more about those red flags people should be looking for in a relationship, and we'll talk about something you call planetary antidotes. I like that term. Did you coin that phrase?
No, I wish I had, but no.
Okay. All right. I'm going to just mute you real quick, and we'll be back together chatting very shortly, okay? So for those of you out there who haven't heard about Joe Carson's new book, Celebrate Wildness, I wanted to read to you what Dana Corby in her blog says about Celebrate Wildness, and her blog is called The Rant and Raven. So Dana says, when people wonder aloud how the Wicca of Southern California became so much more nature-oriented and wild than the British traditions from which it arose, the one factor they don't seem to take into account but should is feraferia. Feraferia, a word Fred Adams coined from Greek roots meaning wilderness festival, is a pagan tradition unlike any other. Based on Fred's visions of the divine feminine, the sacredness of Eros, and the potential for intentional communities that truly do no harm to anything, it also draws upon themes familiar to Wiccans, such as sacred landscapes, prehistoric beliefs, and the fairy faith. Well, Fred intended that feraferia should lead the world into a paradisal future in which freedom, Eros, and play are the core values, where that built by human hands merges seamlessly into the wild, and the fae romp among us. Celebrate Wildness is a unique, exquisite, and profound book. It created in me a sort of homesickness, a wistfulness for the idealist I was, we all were, back when we and the world and the magic were all young and fresh. Though it's a short book at only 115 art-laden pages, don't expect to read it quickly. Take your time, let it sink into your subconscious, and what bobs to the surface will be wondrous. So if you're interested in Celebrate Wildness, you can get it at the website Feraferia, that's feraferia.org. It's an oversized hardbound book on heavy paper, and it's available for only $45. And if I can just make a recommendation, because I do have a copy, I have seen the book. It is wonderful. It makes a great conversation piece and a great coffee table book. And there's lots in there to just broaden your horizons and expand your senses. So check it out. Celebrate Wildness by Joe Carson, and I was just reading Dana Corby's review that is in her blog, The Rant and Raven. So, Thank you, listeners, for being here with us tonight on our regular Wednesday night show. And just a reminder, if you're tuning in late, I have with me Diane Lawson, and she's written the book Extraordinary Relationships Through Astrology. And you'll want to make sure you listen to the first part of the show, but we're about to get into different aspects of relationship and how astrology can help. Like Diane, what are some of the red flags people should be looking out for in relationships?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to explain, even though the book Extraordinary Relationships Through Astrology is mostly about astrology, it does have other things in there. And the red flag one is in there because a lot of my clients told me that I had to include this chapter on red flags because they just wanted to know what to look out for before they got involved with somebody else. And for some people don't know what a red flag means, and it's a warning signal telling you that conditions might be unsafe. It doesn't necessarily mean the relationship is doomed, but boy, it sure means it's not something to sweep under the rug. It means to pay attention. And it's especially true in the early feel-good times, you know, when the endorphins are running high and everybody, you know, feels wonderful. It's much better to look early than late. Now, the one thing that I think is the most important thing, and nobody ever mentions it, and I'm going to backtrack a little bit. When I used to be a social worker, and I can't remember what the workshop was about, and I don't remember why this person was up in the front of the room with a whiteboard writing stuff down, but this person was leading this whole big room full of social workers and asking them what did they want in a spouse. And it was primarily women, but they were talking about things like money, a good car, a good job, a hot body. I mean, all these things that can come and go. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe
shallow,
it.
Shallow stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I finally yelled, ethical. And the reason, I couldn't believe it. If these were social workers who didn't realize it, I'm telling you, my clients don't think of that. They think that, it makes me feel good. He loves me so much. I just, you know, I feel blissful when I hug him, and boy, the sex is good. You know, the number one thing by far is being ethical. And people need to be paying attention to small little clues. And I love to tell this story. I tell this often. But when we were dating, my husband took my 10-year-old daughter and I, no, she was 12. She was 12-year-old daughter to the movies. And she was really thin and small, and he put out the money and they gave her a child ticket, you know, which was $2 cheaper. And he said, oh no, she's 12, you know, and gave them two more dollars. Well, a lot of people would have just, you know, blown that off and thought, ha ha, I came out ahead, you know.
But, yeah, right.
And when we go to restaurants, he always checks the bill, and they often don't charge us for all the drinks or the desserts or whatever. And he always says, you made a mistake here. We had two more beers, you know. And and that's really important. If he is ethical about these little things, he's going to be ethical about the big things. And then, and you're certainly able to chip in. I mean, we've all come across red flags, but I think that's something people don't pay attention to. And another one is if people lie about little trivial things, if they lie about anything, how in the heck are you supposed to know they're lying about something else?
Well, with me, one of the big ones is if they're gossiping about somebody else, then how long is it going to be before they're gossiping about you?
Absolutely. And if someone has a bad temper, and driving is really a good clue. You know, I've been on dates where people were yelling at the driver I mean, cussing at the driver next to us. Well, that was a big clue. I mean, this guy has problems with his temper, you know. And really pay attention if he never says he's sorry or never apologizes or always blames other people. You know, does he think he's always...
Yeah, he can never be wrong. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, because I think what we have a tendency to do is, you know, when we're in that honeymoon phase, we overlook so much. I mean, how many of us who have maybe walked away from relationships, and I'm not just talking boyfriends or husbands, I'm talking about girlfriends or groups and things like that. You know, you saw the red flags, but you make excuses. You know, you make excuses because you want it to work and everything seems to be good at the moment. And, you know, you kind of just stuff the red flags, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I really like for people to pay attention to how they talk about their exes. Now, if they were married to a crazy bitch, this is exactly what you're saying, kind of if they're gossiping, if they're saying bad things about somebody else, they're going to be saying the same kind of thing about you in the future. Why were they with a crazy bitch? You know, people, water seeks its own level often. You know, if they were with a crazy bitch, that might mean something about him. And it really may say more about how he views women than what the ex is really like, you know? So,
it does call into question their judgment, you know, their discernment, you know, maybe what their values are. You know, why did they marry that person in the first place? You know, did she have a good body? Was she rich? Whatever, you know, we never really know.
Mm-hmm. And then I think it's very important to pay attention to what he says. And I'm using, you know, he and you know, and I can remember years ago, somebody called me up about a magazine article I had written and saying I wrote this, it was about relationships, and it was talking, they were talking about what a sexist person I must be because I was using, you know, he
mm-hmm.
talking about this relationship about women, and I apologize, but anyway, this applies to anybody, he or she, but it's just easier to use he. I want people to really pay attention to what he, or I guess I should say, or she says. A lot of times someone will say, I'm not ready for a relationship, I don't have time for a relationship. And then I'll have women tell me, oh, I know he loves me, and I know he's going to change his mind because he loves me so much. Well, no, he told you he is not ready. Pay attention. But also, on the other hand, make sure his actions match his words. If he talks about how much you mean to him, but he doesn't make time for you, actions probably speak louder than words. So really pay attention to the words and to the actions. And, you know, it is like 15 to the hour, and we wanted to cover a lot of other stuff. And I'm certainly willing to talk about this as much as you like. But
okay. No, I mean, I think those are important because if you follow the red flags as one of your tools, in addition to what you teach astrologically, then, I mean, it just increases your chances for success. I mean, I think that's what you're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, because when I was reading your bio and I saw that you were a graduate in psychology and social work, I thought, you know, you bring something else to the table, that helps complement, you know, the science of the astrology. So what are the planetary antidotes that can help people in relationships?
Okay, I'm going to start off by saying that everything in the universe is ruled or has a correspondence to one of the planets. And when I say planets, I'm including the sun, moon, and I know they're not planets. Maybe I should say luminaries and planets. And I include all the planets except Earth, and I include Pluto, even though he's been downgraded to a dwarf planet. I'm hoping he will be upgraded. soon. there's talk about that. So I'm using the sun, the moon, all the planets except Earth and Pluto. And so I have a list in my book of not really a list, but kind of an explanation of what each of those rules or has a correspondence to. And then I also have a list of, and stop me if I'm not, this may be, you know, you don't have the book in front of you, but I have a list of all the planets and then the planetary antidote. Each planet has an antidote. And an antidote is something that, you know, takes away the hurt, takes away the pain, you know, takes away it's a panacea. So
why don't you give us an example?
Okay, this is a great example. And this can be true in anything. It can be true in relationships of the other person or yourself. But Saturn has a planetary antidote of Venus and Neptune. And so Saturn rules depression, as an example. And then Venus rules, well, it rules chocolate and shopping and other people and love and relationships. And then Saturn also has Neptune as a planetary antidote. And this is really interesting because it was discovered that Saturn's planetary antidotes were Venus and Neptune long before there was psychotherapy or medication. But Neptune rules medication, psychotherapy. It also rules connection to God, connection to nature. So as an example, you can look at, you know, what kind of problem do I have or what kind of problems do the other person have or what kind of problems does a relationship have, and you can see, oh, well, what planet rules that, and then you can go to the chart, and it's just a real quick chart, and see what the planetary antidote is, and then go and see what that planet has a correspondence with.
And I know it makes sense to you, but for somebody who's not looking at the book, what does it make relevant? You know, if one planet is an antidote to Saturn, how does that translate in the real world? What would you do?
Okay. The real world is if you're depressed, what you should do is, you should, you know, hang out with people you love, connect to people. You should get into therapy. You should take medication. You should, you know, get involved with nature. Maybe you should find a connection to God.
Okay. And that's what the planets are referencing.
Right. And it's interesting because relatively recently found out that one of the best cures for depression, and I know everybody's different, and I know everybody's body's different, but is to get up first thing in the morning and walk, get out into nature, get out into the sun, reset your biological clock according to nature. And okay. You know, the more you find out about what these planets have a connection to, the better. And would you like for me to give you one more example so you kind of get what I'm
saying? Yeah.
Okay. Mars is anger, aggression, fighting. It's also physical violence. So if you're in a relationship that has, you know, really heavy-duty Mars stuff and you're wanting help, you can go to this chart, and it's like half a page. You know, it's really easy to find in this book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what in the heck am I supposed to do with this? Well, Pluto is one of the planetary antidotes for Mars. Pluto happens to be, happens to be like authority figures, like police and judge.
Huh,
you know,
okay.
If you're getting physically abused, you better call the police.
Right.
You know, you're not going to be able to fight, you know, fighting back isn't going to work. You know, it's just, and it helps people kind of gosh, this is pretty black and white, and this is, when people are involved in a relationship, you know, they're going all over the place. They're thinking this, 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 and they're just going all over the place, and it's really hard to figure out, well, just, I just need to know what to do. And this chart is just really simple and easy and...
Yeah, it's logical rather than, you know, people who are stressed out or, you know, they might not be thinking clearly, as simple as that.
Absolutely. You got it. You got it.
Okay. So now you talk about in the book, too, adult astrological cycles and how they help people navigate relationships. What is an adult astrological cycle?
Well, we all know that kids have different cycles, you know, the terrible twos. A two-year-old is going to be really different than a five-year-old. I mean, there's a reason they start five-year-olds in school and not two-year-olds, you know. I mean, because they have different cycles. What we don't realize is that grown-ups have these same cycles, and it's really, really tuned into astrology, and everybody's birth chart is different. But Saturn, as an example, you know, we'll go back through the signs of the zodiac and be in the same place that it was at somebody's birth, you know, same degree of the zodiac, same, you know, same sign of the zodiac, same degree of the zodiac it was at that person's birth, around the ages of 28 to 30. And so everybody, and you can think back, you know, when you were 28 to 30, everybody from 28 to 30 is having a Saturn return, and it's usually pretty difficult and hard to deal with time. And when you were 28 to 30, how was your life?
I was in transition, just like I am right now, as I'm 61. We were getting ready to, we were making the decision to move from New Orleans, Louisiana, to California. So it was a major life change.
Okay, okay. People often have major life changes. I'm not surprised you moved. So you moved to a new place where you didn't know anybody. Is that true?
Yep, it was just me and my husband. We were totally on our own.
Right, okay. It's a time when people are feeling, and I moved when I was during that time period too, and it's often a major aspect. It can be hard to deal with. It's learning new skills. It's a time when you're kind of feeling isolated or lonely. It's usually pretty hard. It's separation, And it can be helpful if your spouse is, you know, 28 to 30, to kind of give them a little extra leeway and attention and support, because it's a difficult astrological time.
Well, now, my husband was 10 years older than me, so what did that mean? Did that
did
make it easier?
Did he have a job?
What? Well, we moved out here thinking we had a job, but when we got here, it turned out it was bogus, and we both had to find a job.
Woo! Scary.
Yeah, it was. It was a little scary. We came out here with $2,000 in our pocket, and you know how quick that could have disappeared.
Well, I don't know. You know, we have to look at everybody's individual birth chart, but... So I don't know what he was going through, you know, since he's 10 years older than you. But I do know that everybody has certain times that are more difficult than others. And it can be helpful to know, oh, my gosh, I'm going through the Saturn return. it's going to get better, you know. It's kind of nice to know. And I put that in a relationship book, which is kind of at first glance, kind of a strange thing to put in a relationship book, but it can really have an effect on what people are going through in their relationships at, you know, what astrological stage they are in their life.
So do you also cover the second Saturn returns? And if you do, tell listeners what that is.
I'm sorry, what? I didn't hear you. I was talking over you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was saying if you cover the first Saturn return, maybe you cover the second. And if you did, I was asking you to explain to listeners about the second Saturn return, because a lot of my listeners are probably about to get there.
Okay. Well, the second Saturn return, and it is usually around the ages of 58 to 60. Sometimes it's a little later. And since do you know if you're when your second Saturn return happened?
No, I don't know specifically. No.
Okay, because I'm wondering, since you moved the first time and then you moved now, and you said you were 61.
Yeah, I'm 61 now.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you're in your second Saturn return now.
I think so. I don't doubt it. I mean, you know, life is in transition. I've been emotionally in transition for probably, a year to a year and a half. And I might be physically in transition very soon, too.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I'm happy to tell you that the second Saturn return can be much different than the first. The first one, Saturn is kind of the great teacher. It teaches us what we need to learn. And usually when we're 28 to 30, we need to learn a lot, you know, about responsibility, about being on our own, taking care of ourselves. And then by the time the second one comes, we've learned all of that. We're self-sufficient. We can take care of ourselves. We feel pretty good about ourselves. So the second Saturn return is usually pretty different than the first one. My second Saturn return was glorious. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. But it is a time to be self-reflective and pay attention to all areas of your life and figure out, you know, is this what you want in life? Is this where you want to be? Is this what you're doing? Do you need to improve? Because Saturn will actually help you have the necessary discipline to achieve your aims. And there are other things going on around the second Saturn return that are incredibly positive for career and just general life happiness that are not going on around the first Saturn return. And I do mention those in the book. And I usually, you know, if I'm doing somebody's chart who's like 55 on, I always tell them, you know, these happy things coming up, especially with career. It's a time around 58 to 60 that they can create exactly what they want in career, and they can create exactly what they want in terms of life and people in their lives. And it's a time to grab opportunities, and it can be just really happy. And it's very, very different for different people.
That sounds really optimistic.
It's very optimistic. I loved being 58 to 60. I loved my Saturn return with these other things that I talk about in the book. I mean, it's just, it was a grand time for me. It was a grand time. And
okay.
The opportunities are there. You just have to grab them and create them.
Okay. Well, Diane, we've covered a lot, but is there anything I haven't thought to ask you you feel is important to share with listeners before we say goodnight?
Well, I would love to have people know where they could buy my book, Extraordinary Relationships Through Astrology, Diane Lawson. They can get it on Amazon.com, or they could get it on my website, which is just DianeLawson.com. I just think it's, you know, I wrote the book because I really wanted to help people with relationships, because it's hard to navigate through relationships. And I know, because, you know, I have not done well in the early part of my life. And I think that's one of the reasons why clients come to me with relationships. They know I cannot be judgmental, you know, because I haven't done very well myself, so I do not judge. But I really want it to be a benefit to others.
Well, and I mean, if it helped you turn your life around and you went from disappointment to happiness, I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, the proof's kind of in the pudding, so to speak.
Yep. Astrology can really help.
So let me ask you, you said where people can get your book. How can they reach you if they want a reading or a chart?
Well, they can certainly go to my website, and it's DianneLawson.com. I'd be happy to give my phone number out. It's and I do a lot of I do primarily phone consultations. I live in Topeka, Kansas, but the world is a lot bigger than Topeka, so most of my clients are from around the world. I do FaceTime and Skype and phone, but my phone is 785-232-2836.
Okay.
And they can call. I guess I should give them my email, too. It's Cappy, which is C as in cat, C-A-P-P-I-E 0113@AOL.com. They could email me, too. I would love to hear from people.
Okay. Well, great. A lot of my listeners do listen from the archives. So they will be listening to this over the course of the next few weeks. So I hope you hear from some of them. And I've enjoyed talking to you, Diane. I appreciate, all you've shared and look forward to our doing something together in the future.
Well, I would love to. I just think you're really very good at what you do, and you're very generous with your guests, and I want to tell you I appreciate you a great deal. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It means a lot to hear that. When there's good feedback from the listeners and the guests, that makes it all worthwhile. So thank you so much, and thank you for being on the show tonight.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, good night, Diane.
Good night.
Before I say goodbye to all of you, one more word from Joe Carson here, so please stay tuned just a few more minutes.
The psychic state is the collective unconscious, which is that consciousness of the planet. It's called the chthonic mind, the mind of the earth.
Our ancestors understood that the animal and the divine were all connected, they were together, that there wasn't a separation. What we are trying to return to is that sense that our animal nature is divine. It doesn't get in the way of the divine. It gets us closer to it.
What's your idea of being fully alive as a human being? Because that's what's really spiritual. Write it down. Start writing your own Bible if you want.
That's the sacred. And by that, I just mean sweaty, fun, happy sex.
Jo Carson is quite prolific, and she's a great supporter of the show. And you've been listening to the trailer for Dancing with Gaia, which is Jo Carson's feature-length documentary film. In it, she interviews 15 visionaries and teachers about earth energy, sacred sexuality, and the return of the goddess as Gaia. You know, she traveled to ancient sacred sites all over Europe and the Mediterranean to shoot this film, and these spiritual sites from northern Scotland to central Turkey profoundly affected the origins of Western culture. If you've always wanted to see these sites yourself but haven't, this is an opportunity to experience some of the best ones and get their story right from the comfort of your armchair. The DVD comes packaged with a 45-page color mini book, which goes even deeper into the material. You can buy the DVD and booklet for only $20 at dancingwithgaia.com. Well, I want to thank Diane for being on the show tonight. I want to thank listeners who are tuning in tonight or later from the archives. Your listener loyalty means a great deal to me. As always, keep your emails coming. I like to hear from you with guest ideas, feedback about the show. As I always say, and maybe I haven't said in a while, you are the gas in my tank that keeps me going. When I hear from one of you and you say, the show is your lifeline, maybe there's nobody else where you live that talks about these things or thinks the way I do or the way my guests do, and it means so much to you to have this different perspective. That's what I'm here to do. We all have pieces of the puzzle to create a new world, a world that we want to usher in that paradigm shift. Let's all be part of that morphic field, that 100th monkey. I know they're all, cliche phrases, but you know what I mean. We're living in a time of evolution. Sometimes it's one step forward and two steps back, but I think that's what it means to be living in the paradigm shift. It would be nice if we could just wake up one morning and the world is as we imagined it or we wish it to be, but we have to make that happen. So, I would just encourage you to never give up, be tenacious, like our great mother Sekhmet, lady of tenacity manifested, is what I like to call the Egyptian lion-headed goddess Sekhmet. We all have to be tenacious, as well as loving, and healing and nurturing. So that about does it for me tonight. Next time you will hear from me is the 24th of October, and I will have on the show with me Tayana McQuiller, and we're going to be talking about an interesting oracle deck, and it's based on the Sibyls of Libya. So you don't want to miss that. I believe they're called the Black Doves of Africa. So, tonight we talked about astrology, and to a certain extent there's divination in it. And later on in the month we'll also be talking about that that new tarot deck. So please stay with me and share the link to the show around social media and Facebook and your friends. And that about does it for me tonight. So thank you, dear listeners. I hope you're having a wonderful October, and Hallows and Samhain is just around the corner. It's beginning of the new year for many folks. It's a time when the veil between the worlds is thin, and we talk about connecting with our ancestors. So I hope it is a good season for you. All right, then. Good night, and until the 24th of October, I'll see you then.